extra lives.
Okay. This is a work session only, and there's no case number, so it's not being broadcast, but this is a work session on medical marijuana potentially coming on the market here soon, and whether there is a role for the Public Service Commission as far as the measuring devices, and if there is a role, what that role is. I don't have any opening comments. Commissioner Fedorchak is calling in and on the line. And did you have any opening comments, Julie?
I don't. I'm going to stay on as long as I can. I might have to bow out so I can catch the consult with this surgeon in a few minutes.
And so you know Jason Wall and Jordan Schatz from the Division of Medical Marijuana are here with us.
Okay. Very good.
Okay. Brian, did you have any opening comments before I turn it over to Conrad?
No, I don't.
Okay. Go ahead, Conrad.
And I'm having just a tiny bit of a trouble hearing you guys.
Okay.
Right now.
Is this any better?
Especially Brian.
Or maybe I was kind of mumbling too. I don't know. Is this any better?
No, I can hear you. I couldn't hear Brian much, but he didn't say that much either.
How's this? Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Conrad.
Good morning, Julie. Good morning, commissioners. So with this, we've been working with the Division of Medical Marijuana since approximately beginning of August there, when they approached us about the weighing and measuring devices that are going to be used at the manufacturing facilities only, in which there are two that are going to be within the state. Since then, Alana and I have been doing research, along with I've reached out to a couple other states to determine how they've done it. And we don't have any exemption that we found within our rules that would exempt this practice from us going in and certifying the scales on an annual basis. They would be subject to the laws, weights and measures laws and rules, just as any other scale or measuring devices in the state currently. So this is where I wanted to bring the commission together to understand your perspective on it and answer any questions that we may have. We also requested the Department of Health, Division of Medical Marijuana, Jason and Jordan, to hear as well in case you have any specific questions to them about the program, that they're the program experts on that.
But the law does exempt us from testing the measuring devices used for prescription drugs, correct?
The scales, yes.
Okay.
So there's a specific exemption in the law for prescription scales. And in my research with other states, that seems to be a pretty standard exemption out there with most other states. I don't know the board that actually does the prescription scales, but the state weights and measures programs do not take on those scales.
And in this case, even though it's medical marijuana that we're talking about, not recreational, they do not get a prescription. It is not considered in law a prescription. They get a certification from a doctor that they could benefit from this and then proceed to get it from a dispensary.
Right. As I understand it, if there's anything that Jason or Jordan you want to add as far as how the prescription is viewed federally versus statutorily in the state level.
This is Jason. There are no prescriptions or prescribing under the medical marijuana program. That language is specifically not included in medical marijuana programs to ensure that from the federal perspective, since this marijuana still is a federal illegal drug, that there isn't any concerns from the DEA that, you know, prescriptions are being written by healthcare providers who may have a DEA license. So all the healthcare provider is doing is completing a written certification form stating that in their opinion they believe the patient may benefit from the medical use of marijuana to treat or alleviate the symptoms or conditions that they have. So when the healthcare provider, which is defined in state law as a physician licensed in the state of North Dakota or an advanced practice registered nurse who also needs to be licensed in the state of North Dakota, when that healthcare provider signs that form, they identify the medical condition that is listed within state law that their patient would have that would qualify them for the program. but they do not identify in regards to the product types or dosage amounts or any other information in regards to specific, like you typically are going to see from a healthcare provider for a prescription. So that terminology is specifically not used in medical marijuana programs, as far as I can tell, kind of across the nation.
Okay.
I asked their attorney at the AG's office, Tara, to also look at the question, and she agreed on, you know, it's not a prescription, what they're getting.
By the way, Julie, I'm sorry, I neglected to point out, Steve is in the room with the controls, Brian, of course, and then Alana, Conrad, and Shelley.
Got it. Thank you. You couldn't really hear that, Alana.
I'm sorry. These things are kind of tall. I just had talked with Tara in the AG's office. She's the attorney for this program at Health, and she agreed that it's not a prescription that they're getting. That exception doesn't apply.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you what my opinion has been on this all along, and I'm not saying I couldn't be convinced otherwise, but at this point is that because it's still a federal illegal drug, I feel uncomfortable having our employees out there being complicit in doing this. And I think we ought to submit a bill that expands the exemption that we have for prescriptions to include medical marijuana.
We could do that. I'm just want to clarify something in case you're misunderstanding. The exception is in a rule, not in a statute.
Correct.
Right. And we adopt the handbook. The handbook defines prescription, handbook 44, I guess it is, federal, and then our exception is in a rule. But there are there are ways they can self-certify. We didn't get to that particular topic so that we're not necessarily doing it. And we could propose a rule. I had asked Health if they thought a rule was a good idea, and I understood that you'd just as soon have the measurements confirmed, but I don't know. You can speak for yourself.
I think, you know, as this issue was brought to our attention by another state in regards to the scales, to try to provide some assurance to the patients who would make purchases, what we were looking for was a way to provide assurance to not only those patients, but to the public as well, that when things were being packaged at the manufacturing facility, that this scale was certified or approved, or it was actually going to be something that we could rely on to provide an accurate measurement. So when purchases were being made, we had the ability to provide assurance to not only patients, but the public, to law enforcement as well, that yes, what is weighed and what went into that container is what we believe is an accurate measurement.
Is there a variation in moisture content on the product that would change the weight?
We're talking dried leaves and flowers in regards to that, but if it's going to be packaged as dried leaves and flowers, they'll have already gone through a drying process. Most of that moisture will be out. It has to pass compliance testing in order related to water activity and moisture content. So, you know, the reduction of, you know, is it going to lose some of its weight while it's sitting in the package before it's being sold? Possible, but not very likely.
So there's not a big variation.
There shouldn't be, no. And really, they are required. We require them to hang it, you know, when it's ready to be harvested is the term they use in the industry. When they're going to harvest it, they'll weigh it before they dry it, and then they'll weigh it again after it's dried. So we have wet measurements and dry measurements, and then they'll take from that dry weight is what we'll be monitoring and seeing. You got X amount of dry weight, how many containers at what weight amount did you get out of that dry weight, and we should be very close in regards to packages and that weight compared to what our dry weight was for that harvest.
Alana, I've got a question for you. Is this simple or generally, not generally, but is this the right way to think about this?
I've got to drop off now. I'm sorry.
Did you have any questions, Julie? I can yield to you.
No, I'll catch up with Conrad with the question afterwards.
Okay, good luck over there.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
So unless otherwise stated in statute or a written rule, our weights and measures program is not product-based, but scale-based or scale-orientated.
It's an okay way of thinking it. Before that, every scale or measuring device used in commerce has to be accurate. That burden is on the user, on the person who sells by weight or volume or whatever. And then we have a testing program of varying degrees over the years. Mm-hmm. Many things are exempt and many things aren't, and some are deferred, you know, to other jurisdictions or whatever. But prescription scales, and we're trying to figure out, well, who does worry about what something weighs in the drugstore? I have no idea. I couldn't find that out. They may know over in a different part of health. I don't know.
We do not. In regards to that, too, and we haven't found an answer in regards to who's monitoring, you know, the pharmacies.
I found interesting. It's perfectly logical, but I never thought of it until I started reading your rules. But there's so much testing that health is going to be doing for the different chemicals and the degree of the chemical and all of that. So this product is going to be examined thoroughly. And I don't know how any of that works, but I was just like so startled. It just was, there's so much, and I guess that's the way it has to be. The weighing part of it, and again, it's only scales, not liquid measurements, would be something we would do, or we would at least certify.
Well, there's a pill form too, right?
There can be capsules under the program, correct.
And these manufacturers make them out of the product. And so if they are however many milligrams, I suppose then we would be responsible to make sure that those are 100 milligrams too.
I'd have to ask legal for their interpretation, because if they injected, say, a liquid into that capsule, like a concentrate, along with some other ingredients for that, my understanding would be it would be exempt.
Well, see, that's the thing. All we have jurisdiction over here is a scale. So that pill is sold
by count.
Count. We're not in it.
And then that would be the testing that, correct me if I'm wrong, that's Department of Health would be doing as far as the appropriate amount of the different chemicals that would be in that capsule then.
But so if you're getting 30 capsules, 30 100 milligram capsules, doesn't someone have to determine then whether they're 100 milligram or 90 or 110?
We would be testing in regards to the, there is a requirement within the law that the amount of THC in the capsule is in each serving, I should say, which we would anticipate would be a capsule or two capsules, whatever the case may be, that a serving for those capsules can't exceed a THC, 50 milligrams THC within that capsule. So our lab will test for that type of information. But as far as, you know, what we would look at beyond that, it would be serving size, number of capsules that were actually distributed or dispensed, excuse me, to the qualifying patient.
And then from this process, there's only going to be two manufacturing facilities, and then the dispensaries are only going to be selling a package at that point. So the packaging of that happens at the manufacturer, which then makes those scales the point of where commerce would be for that package and if it's sold by weight. And reviewing it, and I've had some discussions with our inspectors just on, you know, if we pursue down this road, would they object to it just on any personal level? And both of them said at this point that, you know, they understand, they would do their job, wouldn't have any issue with it. you know, everything that I've read about it and that we've discussed, and I can understand your perspective as well, Commissioner Christman, as far as the legality of it. I know that Department of Health is wrapped up into it, so they'd fall under that, you know, working with the federal illegal, you know, that the federal government views that as an illegal substance. But I do, from my perspective as the director, I do see this as a responsibility of ours to be able to ensure that the people that are using this product and getting their doctor's note or permission, or whatever that may be, that they're getting the right amount. The state itself voted to allow this, and I think we have a fundamental responsibility to ensure that the product that's being dispensed out there is in the appropriate quantities, and also to ensure that, you know, for the, that the scale itself, I should say, is being used and certified, because that's our portion of it, whether we agree with it or not, that, okay, well, at least we can make sure that the scale that's being used is a certified scale and nobody's getting more than they should be getting. So, and that's...
This is an... I'm not going to beat a dead horse here too long, probably, but I will say that when the people voted for it, I'm sure that many people thought it would be prescribed and monitored by a doctor, but the doctors aren't wanting to get that far involved in it,
right?
And nor am I.
Is this the only thing that scale, that particular scale, would be used for? Would it be exclusive to this product, or would it be a scale that we're certifying that could be used for a variety of other products within that same store?
That would have to defer as far as the use of the scale in commerce there.
The scales that we're talking about are really the ones right now that we're focusing on, would be the ones that are going to be in what we call their processing or packaging and labeling rooms is typically where that's going to be. That scale would be specific to it, the product being weighed before it goes into the container. So the sole purpose of that scale in that manufacturing facility, to me, would be, you know, to weigh before it's put in a container to get to a dispensary to be dispensed then to the qualifying patient.
So it would be exclusive to the medical marijuana product.
Yes, and we've talked about, you know, if this was something that PSC would be doing, just kind of the process and what we could do on our end to make things go a little a bit smoother. The way the rules are for the program right now, we would need to accompany a PSC individual into any restricted access area. That would be considered the packaging and labeling room would be considered a restricted access area, so we would accompany any PSC employee into that room. There are other scales in the facility that we've kind of talked about, but it appears that PSC would not... those that I talked about for drying, the dry weight and the wet weight on the harvest, it sounds like PSC would not be required under the rules to certify those scales. And those would be more in where the actual plants would be located within that facility. So the scale we're talking about is more typically in an isolated room specifically designed for labeling and packaging of products. I would say also that, you know, the healthcare provider, one thing that I forgot to mention in regards to, you know, they sign that written certification form, but they are required then to have follow-up with their patient in regards to determining how the medical use of marijuana is working for that patient at any time in that year. If the healthcare provider believes that there needs to be a change or they do not believe that their patient is benefiting from that, they can rescind, they can notify us in writing, and that patient then will need to find another healthcare provider because we're required to void their card then in that, even if their year isn't up yet.
There's going to be two manufacturing facilities, right?
Right now, there are the law identifies a maximum of two. If there is a need to increase access to marijuana products, then the Department of Health does have authority to establish another one. Those manufacturing facilities are limited by 1,000 plants. They can't exceed 1,000 plant limit at each of them, which I can tell you right away, when I first started in this position, I thought 1,000 plants, my God, that seems like a lot of plants. It's really not in a medical program. The 1,000 plants, and with, you know, how long it takes to grow, to sit in flowering stages, to sit to dry and cure, doesn't give them a lot of harvest in a one-year period. So it is something, you know, that 1,000 plants sounds like a lot. It's really not for medical programs. We're, when we look at other states, we're very, very low on the amount of plants that are available under our program. States that appear to have set and started off with limits have had to increase those limits as time went on. That would obviously be a legislative decision, but right now we're maximum of two.
And to do the inspections, this won't be something where our inspectors, a gas station goes real quick, so they got a little time, and so they drop by and get this one out of the way. They'll need to make an appointment in advance.
We would need to coordinate with Department of Health, and that's definitely a policy that I wholeheartedly agree with. I have no intentions of our inspectors even trying to access a facility without accompanying you as well, because you're going to know those facilities inside and out. We don't. Additionally, so we would coordinate with Department of Health and let them know ahead of time, hey, the scale is going to be due in the next month or so. What's a good time for you, for us to accompany you in the facility if we go that route? There's also health procedures, protective equipment procedures that are taking place that they would provide us with Tyvek suits to wear when the inspectors go in there. And certifying these scales is not a very long process. Depending on the scales, I mean, each scale is going to take less than 5 minutes to certify.
And it would be with our normal equipment. We don't have to buy any.
No, we've got the class. It's going to be, they're going to be class two scales. So they are going to, they're in a higher threshold of accuracy. And we have the class two weight kits already that we keep certified annually through the state of Minnesota. So we already have the equipment for it. And they would, Department of Health would provide us with the PPE as well. And then we've talked about a little bit as far as my concern is, if we go down this road, is that we'd want to make sure that that scale platform itself is clean, and I would actually request it to be cleaned in the presence of our inspector so that they can ensure that there's not going to be any transfer from that platform to their weights as well.
And class two scales, what are some examples of those that I would compare it to?
A dockage scale at an elevator. There are a lot of dockage scales at elevators. They're weighing such a minutia amount of, you know, the dockage itself. That would be a class two scale that we would see out there.
And we'd be willing to work with Conrad in regards to whatever PSC would like to have in regards to a policy. We'll ensure that the manufacturing facilities then follow that. From the, you know, the appointment to the access to cleaning the scale in front of the inspectors, whatever that would be. The Tyvek suits aren't necessarily worn for our protection. It's more of the protection for the facility to ensure that we're not bringing something in from the outside that could cause a mold or mildew issue for them or something else that would basically shut that facility down. We are one of the very few states that do not allow a pesticide of any kind in that facility. Which does create more concerns and more risks that they could have an outbreak in the facility and they really don't have anything then in their disposal to apply to those plants. So we try to take care that it's not the state that has brought something in from the outside into that facility that causes an issue. With the packaging and labeling room only, the suits may not even be something, but we would have them and the booties and the gloves. The whole thing that when we go out to do reviews or and we suit up, the same would be available for PSC and employees then as well.
So what would our assurance be in terms of our inspector going in, say something happened in the facility shortly thereafter, pesticide related, and then you're backtracking, and we've had one of our inspectors that was just in a elevator with other ag products, et cetera, what is our assurance on our end that then we're not potentially liable?
And I think that's a very good point. And given the background of the inspectors, they'll probably be completely suited up to go in to do the review. The suits and the booties, in case there was something that they had maybe picked up at an elevator or, you know, something like that. Maybe part of the discussion with Conrad is maybe we try to make it that that's their first stop. You know, if they're able to, they're out to do inspections, that's their first stop. So they're coming from their hotel or from their home, and typically if a fresh set of clothes, showered, reduces that risk.
Would the facilities provide a release that all safety precautions were taken during the testing process? That we would.
I'm not sure. We'd have to get legal involved in that, and if they're. There's no release for us. We just are very cautious in regards to that, to show that we had due care. And it would be hard to get back or pinpoint if they ever were to have an outbreak or there were to be something that happened at the facility.
What could an outbreak cost?
Those plants would have to be destroyed. Right. If they got mold or mildew exposed to those plants and some of those plants started having mold, if that got in the air and that got on the plants, we're probably in a position where they'd be destroying their plants. And
what's a plant worth? I have no idea. $10, $100, $1,000?
More than that.
I have thousands probably per plant.
Per plant.
Yeah.
Okay. So where does... Go ahead.
I think the risk is pretty low on us being the cause of a problem there. Just from their limited time being there, the portion of the building that they're going to be in isn't going to be around the rest of the plants. So they'll never actually go into where the plants are located. So basically the plan's set up to, they'll have a designated area where this is at, which is going to be well away from where any of the plants are growing, where the plants are hanging, where they're curing. This will be final products that have all been tested, been through everything, and that's when they'll come in. So it's not like they'll be around those things to really probably cause that issue.
I realize it's incredibly low, but at the same time, I guess what went through my mind is there a potential if something went awry with the facility that we would be facing a lawsuit for $250,000 or whatever the amount would be because, where was your inspector, prior to coming into that facility? And maybe it's a stretch to try and match anything up at that point, but it definitely crosses my mind.
Mm-hmm. With what you bring up, Commissioner Crosius, that from my background in previous areas that I've worked in, when you enter like hazmat facilities, there's kind of a safety procedure for signing in and everything. It seems like that might be appropriate if the facility would have something, because, that was almost ensuring their protection as well, that, there's a sign-in sheet, all right, all the safety precautions have been met to their standards, and then that's something that might kind of help satisfy that. And with how regulated it is, I'm sure there's kind of an entry and exit log, I would imagine, at the facilities as well, that almost could be incorporated into with that. But given, I do like the idea, we can definitely work it in there as well, that if we're going to make an appointment with you to go out to a facility, then, and this is only going to really happen twice, once a year at each facility. It's a 12-month certification, not to exceed 15 months on it. And we can definitely make sure that that would be the first stop there as well. I did want to touch base really quick, just for the benefit of the discussion on the self-certification option, just so everybody's aware of that. That the self-certification that we have within our laws and rules is strictly for manufacturers. Now, the manufacturer would have to apply to be a self-certifier. Additionally, they would have to be able to provide us that anything that a registered service company would, which is metrology on, they would have to acquire their own weights, metrology on the weights. They would also have to have the individual or individuals that are going to do that would have to come in and test here to become basically a registered service person. So in a nutshell, they still have to meet all the registered service company requirements, registered service persons, but they're only going to be doing it within their own confines of their facility itself. So we do have a few out there that do that. That option does allow observations to be done by the PSC inspector from time to time to ensure that that individual knows what they're doing. But I know, as Department of Health said, that that's probably not an option that you guys would like to see at that point, but I just wanted to make sure that everybody was aware that that is there. but it's up to the facility itself to apply for that. No outside entity can apply for it for them.
What would be your concern with that approach?
Typically, if we're going to want some assurance in regards to those scales being certified, we'd want an independent source to do that. The risk of they certify themselves, so to speak, really doesn't provide us a lot of assurance. You know, they may have gone through the process. They may have, you know, done all this, but we really don't have an independent kind of third-party review of that scale at any point in time.
Where would these, I mean, back to us testing them, where would these tests fall in our fee schedule?
It would be the, what's a platform scale? It's $11 fee for scale, because it would just be viewed as a regular scale.
Anything else in the work session here?
Was there anything? I know that you were going to, did you have anything else to bring up? And I think before we got on the topic of the signing in and kind of our liability with that, I thought there was something else that you were going to discuss, but maybe I was incorrect.
I don't think so, unless I had brought something up to you earlier that I'm
forgetting
now. But
the concerns you brought up have already been raised, so, okay.
Okay, anything else for this?
No, we appreciate PSC's time. They've been very good to look into this and listen and kind of hear what we've had to say in regards to this, so we've appreciated the help, and it's been a learning experience, I would tell you, for us as well on our end, and scales were not definitely something that had been brought up until just a few months ago when another state brought it to Jordan's attention. So we appreciate the commission's time to discuss the topic as well.
Okay, so here's what how I would summarize this, and someone should tell me if I'm wrong. One option is self-certification, which the health department doesn't like, and that would be something that the manufacturers would bring about, not us. Another option would be to just prepare and for $11 a time go out and certify these scales. Another option would be to change the rules and exempt these. And a third option would be to put in a bill to change the to put it in Century Code that they're exempt.
Right. I wouldn't think that the bill itself would probably be necessary, since we have the ability within rule probably to do that. Correct me if I'm wrong, Alana, but
such
there's not much in
much faster.
Right, or the rules, our administrative rules.
A bill would be much faster at this point than a rule.
Oh, well, if you're looking at rulemaking, yeah, that's mm-hmm. true. So, but I know his.
But would a bill have another state agency opposing it? That's the question. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, if it fails, then it fails, and then we do it.
I mean, I'm just looking for what the testimony is going to say. You know, what we would a rationale.
And well, one other thing, I had mentioned it. I don't know, Conrad, if you were thinking it was something Randy said or if it was along these lines, but I would. If we were to do the testing on these scales, would want some type of a release form as a part of that, given the concerns and the potential for contamination. You know, you could say, well, it'll be the first stop in the morning for our inspector. But let's just say we live in an agricultural state that they're staying at a hotel, they're traveling, and they just happen to be, the room may, or the hotel has custom chemical applicators there. You know, going down for breakfast, they're going down for breakfast and whatnot, and their clothes aren't terribly clean. And they have chemical residue, and you think, well, it's a stretch, and it probably is. But it's not impossible to fathom in this part of the world. So I have, and this is above my pay grade, I don't understand what the real level of risk on contaminating a facility is.
You know, when it comes to the pesticide
part, if they even had pesticide, let's say, on their shoes, or they had trace amount in their clothing, they'd have to get into the facility. It'd have to be transferred somehow from that labeling and packaging room somehow back to the plant area. And even a minute amount of pesticide testing will show up and maybe hit in our results. But there is an amount, the rule requires or allows for that real minuscule trace amount that could somehow end up in the facility. But we actually use a federal CFR for those limits that the federal government has established for a list of some 600 plus pesticides that are out there. So it's a, we don't allow pesticides, but we certainly know we're in a agricultural state that you could have the potential of a trace amount to end up, even from, I'm trying to think, our chemist in the health department talked about, if somebody had gone home and done their dishes at lunch and came back to work, if they didn't have proper hand sanitizer or didn't properly, you know, use the right soap when they got back to the facility, there is a chance that they'll hit for a pesticide because of what's in Dawn dish soap. You have just some trace amounts of pesticides, I'm going to say it because that's what they're defined as, that are in things that you never even really think about. So we are aware of that, you know, for that. It's the mold and mildew issue that's really of concern, and that's why the suits exist. But we can work with the facilities in regards to that if it comes down to wanting some type of liability waiver. It would obviously need to be run through multiple legal counsels in regards to that as well.
I'm going to say, too, just so I don't leave a misimpression, if I am not successful in having us not do this work, I'm going to be recommending to some legislators that the fee be increased, so I don't want to just leave here having you feeling very assured that if we do this that the manufacturer is going to get by for $11 a time when we're needing to make appointments and wear special clothes. And
I think, commissioners, they would not be saying much of anything if that fee were to be increased. I was surprised to hear $11.
Well, surprised on even the easy ones.
But, before we go, and I just thought about this, so no one, I haven't talked about it with anyone, but there used to be a line or two in the statute where health did do some kind of a weights and measures testing. Shelley, I can't even remember the topic.
Octane.
Levels. Okay. Yep. Conceivably, health, your place might be able to do the testing. If you wanted to take it on, and you maybe even borrow our equipment. I don't know. I mean, so you wouldn't have to buy equipment. I don't know. Just a thought. And then you're in there anyway, and so you could just, you know, learn to do this, and then somebody would do it all. So that's another possibility.
We certainly had looked into just the division itself, purchasing the package, the weight package. They are fairly expensive, and then to make sure, you know, we're just not, you know, qualified.
Right, I know, but I mean, you could get
in that area as well, but something we can discuss again on our end.
Just okay. Another option.
Thank you, everyone, and I'm sure we'll be in touch plenty.
All right, thank you for the time.
Yep.
Good to see you again,
Jason. Oh, yes, you can.